In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. The Lord be with you. And Happy New Year. Almost. Let us pray. O God, who through the fruitful virginity of Blessed Mary bestowed on the human race the grace of eternal salvation, grant, we pray, that we may experience the intercession of her through whom we were found worthy to receive the author of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed. They were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. Theotokos. In the history of the church, as the nature of Christ was discerned for doctrinal teaching, this title, Mary, Mother of God, was one of the most controversial realities. And of course, it goes back into the very first centuries of the church, and it was the very first Marian doctrine that was declared. And it goes back into the history of the church with such controversy for good reason. And it's good for us to understand that this isn't just a Marian feast at the beginning of the year, following upon the Nativity of Christ, just for the sake of being nice to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Right? Oh, isn't that nice? In Vatican II, there was a document on the church, Lumen Gentium, the light of the people. And in it, Mary is called Mother of God 12 times. Affirming the importance of this doctrine that comes to have great weight, and really the controversy that underlies the creation of the Nicene Creed that we say every Sunday at Mass. Pope Paul VI said, "The celebration assigned to January 1st in conformity with the ancient liturgy of the city of Rome, is meant to commemorate the part played by Mary in this mystery of salvation. It is also meant to exalt the singular dignity which this mystery brings to the Holy Mother, through whom we were found worthy to receive the author of life. It is likewise a fitting occasion for renewed adoration of the newborn Prince of Peace, for listening once more to the glad tidings of the angels, and for imploring from God, through the Queen of Peace, the supreme gift of peace. For this reason, we have instituted the World Day of Peace, an observance that is gaining increasing support and bearing many fruits. So, as you hear, not only is this a long-standing feast celebrating Mary as Mother of God, but under her title as Queen of Peace, it is also a day declared by the Church as a World Day of Prayer for Peace. So I mentioned that the title Mary, Mother of God goes back into the earliest times of the Church. It was fought over and declared as such in the 4th century. It was officially consecrated as Catholic doctrine in the 5th century at the Council of Ephesus. The doctrine is based on the doctrine of incarnation and was given to Mary as an expression of faith in her being the Mother of God. And so she was praised in prayer and in the liturgy under that title. At that same council, denying Mary as the Mother of God, Theotokos, was condemned. If anyone does not confess that God is truly Emmanuel, and that on this account the Holy Virgin is Theotokos, let them be anathema. There was a heresy that was raging in relation to this. Because although we take it for granted, most of us, that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, it was not always understood. And so there were great debates in the early church about the nature of Christ himself and the Trinity. So much so that it created the need for a new language and understanding about what it meant to be a human being. And so another term that you and I take for granted, person, right? You each are individual persons, right? We don't even think twice about that. And we use that word when we talk about the dignity of the human person. Person. They had to actually come up with that word and the understanding of it through philosophical arguments in order to be able to talk about the nature of Christ. So it's very, very complicated, and all is part of the mountain of teaching, of debate, of prayer, of the work of the Holy Spirit that goes into identifying Mary ultimately as the Mother of God. And it's not like the heresy, particularly Arianism, that we're talking about, just disappeared. It raged on in the West and the Eastern Church for decades and decades, and still to this day influences people's understanding. And so Mormons do not believe what we do. They are still in the Arian heresy. Jehovah's Witness, the same. Unitarian, I don't know. There are places where the Unitarian Church is very strong, I think more in the West. They too suffer from this heresy about the nature of Christ. So it is still very much a part of what is Christian truth about God, the Trinity, and the members of the Trinity. This Arian heresy said Mary was not Theotokos because Jesus was not God, that Jesus was not divine. And that, of course, you can imagine, disturbed a great deal of people at the time. It was most typical and persistent of all the ancient heresies, and itself gave rise to two other major heresies that also are not completely gone. And so it gets its name from the priest named Arius. You thought that we lived in unique times when priests teach heresy or act in scandalous ways. This has happened from the inception of the church. Isn't that sad? But isn't it amazing that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has made it so that His church continues to rise and be rooted in the truth of God. No matter what layperson, priest, bishop, or even pope might do to lead us on a path that is not the truth of God, that is something to be amazingly thankful for. Amen. He was from Alexandria in Egypt and denied that there were three distinct divine persons in the Holy Trinity. For him, there was only one person in the Godhead, the Father. And according to his theory, the Son was a created being. That there was a time when he was not. So he was only Son of God in a figurative sense or by adoption, just like you or I, but not in his essential being or nature. Now, Saint Athanasius, who we all know, was a great defender of the Trinity and the divinity of Christ, the fully human, fully divine, and he was a big fighter against Arianism. So growing out of the long-running Arian controversies, we also get Nestorianism from the bishop, Nestor, and monophysitism. Now, Nestorianism was a heresy promoted by, like I said, a bishop of Constantinople in the 5th century. And he held that there were two distinct persons in Christ, one human and one divine. So two different persons in one. And so he claimed that along with Arius, but for different reasons, that it could not be said that God was born, crucified, or died. Mary merely gave birth, according to Nestor, to a man whose human person was conjoined to that of God, not consubstantial of the same substance. And so Nestor saw Christ's divinity as superimposed on his humanity. And of course, he was condemned at the Council of Ephesus in 431. All of these things going on about who God is in his Trinity, who each of the persons of the Trinity are, what that means, it's very important that we understand these things about our faith, the things that we say in the creed that was born of these arguments in order to safeguard the true teaching of God, about God, that this is what we believe. This is why creeds were created. Initially with the Apostles' Creed, so that those coming into the body of Christ through baptism would understand in a very simple, compact way what it is we believe. And as those questions about who is Jesus really, how does Jesus fit into the language of God actually, as that was determined through scripture, tradition, and the work of the Holy Spirit, the Nicene Creed answers the more complicated questions, so that because of these debates and arguments, heresies, doctrines, we say, we affirm every week and on special feasts that we believe in one God, that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, begotten, not made, born of the Father before all ages, that he was always and will always be, unlike us, who will always be, but were not always, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, consubstantial with, of the same substance with the Father. Through him all things were made. Later on, it became important to distinguish exactly how the Holy Spirit in the Trinity is identified. And so later on was added the section to the Nicene Creed, its actual name, the Nicene Constantinople Creed, the section on the Holy Spirit at the end. So we do not say these things randomly. That creed that we say reaches back into the heart of the church, to its very beginnings, to clearly state for ourselves and for all who hear, this is who we are, this is what we believe. And because of this, we can say, Mary is the Mother of God, period. And celebrate that. That Mary is the mother of Jesus in his humanity and his divinity. One person, two natures, who did in fact become incarnate for us, who did in fact suffer and die as God and man, that we might live to be fully human, the saints that God created us to be, and live forever with him. These are all the reasons why we celebrate this great solemnity today. Mary, Mother of God.